funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us. And through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins, and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my fault, through my most grievous fault, Therefore, I ask, Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. Grant your faithful, we pray, Almighty God, the resolve to run forth to meet your Christ with righteous deeds at his coming, so that gathered at his right hand they may be worthy to possess the heavenly kingdom. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. You, Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer, you are named forever. Why do you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways, and harden our hearts so that we fear you not? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your heritage. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, with the mountains quaking before you, while you wrought awesome deeds we could not hope for, such as they had not heard of from of old. No ear has ever heard, no eye ever seen any God but you, doing such deeds for those who wait for him. Would that you might meet us doing right, that we were mindful of you in our ways. Behold, you are angry, and we are sinful. All of us have become like unclean people. All our good deeds are like polluted rags. We have all withered like leaves, and our guilt carries us away like the wind. There is none who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to cling to you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us up from our guilt. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you the potter. We are all the work of your hands. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved. Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved. O Shepherd of Israel, hear us. Enthroned on the cherubim, shine forth. Rouse up your might and come to save us. Turn again, we implore. Look down from heaven and see. Visit this vine and protect it, the vine your right hand has planted, the Son of Man you have claimed for yourself. The man at your right hand, the Son of Man you have confirmed as your own, and we shall never forsake you again. Give us life that we may call upon your name.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always on your account for the grace of God bestowed on you in Christ Jesus, that in him you were enriched in every way, with all discourse and all knowledge, as the testimony to Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you firm to the end, irreproachable on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, and by him you were called to fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
grant us your salvation.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore, you do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch." The Gospel of the Lord.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today is the first Sunday of that season of the year we call Advent. As you know, the word simply means coming. We use it to refer to the coming of Christ into the world. And of this we are all well aware. Most of us have celebrated Advent many times and are quite familiar with the meaning. But what we sometimes fail to recognize is that the coming of Christ has three levels of meaning to understand. Our typical way of thinking is to limit Advent to only one meaning, or perhaps two at the most. Characteristically, we think of Advent in terms of the Christmas story. This is when we pause to look back across the centuries and remember that the Son of God came into this world as a little baby born of the Virgin Mary. That is the classic and historical meaning of Advent. At other times, we turn our faces towards the future, remembering that Christ has promised to come again, marking the end of history and the fulfillment of God's purposes on earth. For lack of a better term, we refer to this as the second advent, or the second coming of Christ at the end of time. Both of these meanings are theologically sound. They're clearly recorded in the Bible. They have been celebrated and proclaimed throughout the history of the church. But if we stop with these and go no further, we have removed the coming of Christ from the experience of our daily lives. We need to open our minds to one more meaning. We need to recognize that Christ not only has come in the past and will come again in the future, but that he does come in the present as well. This can be seen in our gospel reading for today. Our Lord tells a story about a man who was getting ready to travel abroad. Before leaving, he turned the responsibility of his household over to his servants. To each of them, he gave a specific task and this final word of instruction: "You do not know when the master of the house is coming. Do not let him come suddenly and catch you asleep." Then our Lord adds this comment: "What I say to you, I say to all. Be on guard." Now, what is the message of this parable? What is the Lord telling you and me about life? At first glance, it would appear that he is talking about his final coming at the end of time. And we don't want to discount that possibility. But if this is what he means, and all that he means, then it would seem that we have two problems with the parable. One, it implies that Christian discipleship is a rather superficial thing. That we are like irresponsible, naughty children who stop fighting and clean up the house only because we think it's time for mom and dad to come home. I should hope our commitment to Christ goes a bit deeper than that. Then there is the second problem. If this parable speaks exclusively of the final coming of Christ, then it is almost a mockery of every Christian generation but the last one. It is as if our Lord instructed his disciples to live in expectation of his coming, and then disappointed all those generations between of that expectation by failing to show up. It would seem then that we have to give both this parable and Advent a broader meaning than that. The Lord is also trying to open our minds to the truth of his coming in the events and experiences of our daily lives. Surely he is never far from us, and we should look for him not just in the manger of yesterday or in the clouds of tomorrow, but in the streets of today. Perhaps the first thing we need to do is to teach ourselves to think of his coming not as a threat, but as a promise. His warning to be alert does not mean that we should be filled with fear and anxiety, but rather that we should be joyfully expectant. After all, the one whose arrival we anticipate is not an enemy. He's a loving friend who already knows us better than we know ourselves and loves us far beyond our power to imagine. Think of how his early followers reacted to his return after he had been away. He came one day to the home of Martha and Mary while they were in the midst of mourning the death of their brother. Someone told Martha that Christ was on his way. They could see him down the road, and Martha, being unable to wait, ran down the road to meet him. Mary was in the house. When she heard that he was there, she jumped up from where she was seated and hurried into his presence. Their only regret was that he had not come sooner. Then there was the time that his disciples were out in a boat about 100 yards from shore, and they saw our Lord standing at the water's edge. As soon as Simon Peter recognized him, he did not wait to row the boat to shore. He jumped into the water and swam to where Christ was. That was how our Lord's first friends reacted to his coming. How can we ever think of it as something to dread and to fear? Has he changed? Not at all. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are we that much different from them? No, they were people just like us. It was just that they had found a faithful friend who had taught them the meaning of the love and forgiveness of God. If we ever learn that, then we will see his coming as a promise, not as a threat. Next, we should look for him not just in the big events of life, but in the small everyday things as well. In the parable, the master gave each of his servants a job to do, and then told them that while they were doing it, to expect his coming at any time. The two seem to go together, the work and the return. An old family doctor who had practiced medicine for 50 years once said, "I do not see how anyone can witness the birth of a baby and not believe in God." Here was a man who had learned to see the coming of the Lord in the doing of his daily work. "Oh, but you say that your work is too ordinary. No way to find God anywhere in that." What about Jesus? He wasn't a doctor, he was a carpenter. Simon Peter, he was a fisherman. The servants in the parable, doubtless they were doing household chores and taking care of the farm and the vineyard. To experience the presence of Christ in the doing of our daily work depends not so much on the nature of the work as the attitude of the worker. If the heart is right, and the mind is waiting for Christ, we will find him in many places. In the face of a child, in the needs of other people, in our joys, and yes, even in our sorrows. And every day we live and come to this church, he waits for us in that bronze tabernacle right there, for us to come and say hello. He once promised, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." This is the Advent season, a very special time of the year. In spite of the commercialization of Christmas, in spite of political correctness and our modern culture's futile efforts to erase Christ from Christmas, and in spite of the many temptations for us to get lost in the superficial tinsel and decorations of the season, Advent speaks to us of the Christ who has come as the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary. It speaks to us of the Christ who shall come as the King of Kings. But it also speaks to us of the Christ who daily comes as a friend to walk with us in the midst of all the pain and gladness of our daily lives. We need to look for him around us and in us every day. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We are God's servants, watching for his return and carrying out our responsibilities. And so let us call upon the name of the Lord as we pray for our needs and those of the world.
For our church led by Pope Francis, as we watch and wait for the Lord during this Advent season, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace within and among all nations, especially in the Middle East, Afghanistan, Ukraine, and Korea, we pray to the Lord. For those who continue to live in hunger this week in the midst of the abundance of Thanksgiving, especially young families and children, we pray to the Lord. For our own community of faith, as we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord by learning and doing God's work among ourselves and in the world beyond these doors, we pray to the Lord. For those who serve in our armed forces and for their families and loved ones, we pray to the Lord. For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Maria Juanita Quiroga, Adolfo Barrera, Michael Hayes, Raymond Silvas III, Sally Whitliff, we pray to the Lord. Now, my friends, for all of the prayers and intentions that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of our needs, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Let us pray. Lord, make us turn to you with all our hearts. Hear our prayers. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved. We make this prayer in the name of Christ our Lord, whose coming we long for and whose day we await. Amen.
Thank you.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Let us pray. Accept, we pray, O Lord, these offerings we make, gathered from among your gifts to us. And may what you grant us to celebrate devoutly here below gain for us the prize of eternal redemption, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. For he assumed at his first coming the lowliness of human flesh, and so fulfilled the design you formed long ago, and opened for us the way to eternal salvation. That when he comes again in glory and majesty, and all is at last made manifest, we who watch for that day may inherit the great promise in which we now dare to hope. And so with the angels and the archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory, as without end we acclaim.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you."
In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim, by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself. Grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son, and filled with his Holy Spirit, may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Michael, our Bishop, his brother bishops Edmund and Renee, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress,
as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Father Han Fang, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.